Mama came back from the kitchen with Stacy behind her. "What is it?" she asked, looking from Big Ma to Uncle Hammer. Charlie Sims knocked Cassie off the sidewalk in Strawberry, and the child just told Hammer, said Big Ma in one breath, still holding onto Uncle Hammer's arm. "Oh, Lord," Mama groaned. "Stacy, get Mr. Morrison, quick now." As Stacy sped from the room, Mama's eyes darted to the shotgun over the bed, and she edged between it and Uncle Hammer. Uncle Hammer was watching her, and he said quietly, "Don't worry. I ain't gotta use David's gun. I got my own." Suddenly, Mama lunged to the side door, blocking it with her slender body. "Hammer, now you listen to me." But Uncle Hammer gently but firmly pushed her to one side and, brushing Big Ma from his arm, opened the door and bound down the steps into the light rain. Little man Christopher John and I dashed to the door as Big Ma and Mama ran after him. "Get back inside," Mama called over her shoulder, but she was too busy trying to grab Uncle Hammer to see to it that we obeyed, and we didn't move. "Hammer, Cassie's all right," she cried. "Don't go making unnecessary trouble." "Unnecessary trouble? You think my brother died and I got my leg half blown off in their German war to have some redneck knock Cassie around any time it suits him? If I'd have knocked his girl down, you know what would have happened to me. Yeah, you know all right. Right now, I'd be hanging from that oak over yonder. Let go of me, Mary." Mama and Big Ma could not keep him from reaching the car. But just as the Packard roared into life, a huge figure loomed from the darkness and jumped into the other side, and the car zoomed angrily down the road into the blackness of the Mississippi night. "Where'd he go?" I asked as Mama slowly climbed the steps. Her face under the glow of the lamp was tired, drained. "He went up to the Simses, didn't he? Didn't he, Mama?" "He's not going anywhere," Mama said, stepping aside and waiting until both Big Ma and Stacy were inside. Then she locked the door.
"Mr. Morrison'll bring him back," said Christopher John confidently, although he looked somewhat bewildered by all that had happened. "If he don't," said Little Man ominously, "I bet your Uncle Hammer'll teach that old Mr. Sims a thing or two round here hitting on Cassie." "I hope he knocks his block off," I said.
Mama's gaze blazed down upon us. "I think little mouths that have so much to say must be very tired."
"No, ma'am. Mama, we ain't.
Go to bed."
"Mama, it ain't but..."
Mama's face hardened, and I knew that it would not be in my best interest to argue further. I turned and did as I was told. Christopher John and Little Man did the same. When I got to my door, I asked, "Ain't Stacy coming?" Mama glanced down at Stacy sitting by the fire. "I don't recall his mouth working so hard, do you?" "No'm," I muttered, and went into my room. After a few minutes, Mama came in. Without a word of reprimand, she picked up my clothes from where I had tossed them at the foot of the bed and absently draped them over the back of a chair. She said, "Stacy tells me you blame Big Ma for what happened today. Is that right?" I thought over her question and answered,
"Not for all of it. Just for making me apologize to that old dumb Lillian Jean Sims. She oughtn't have done that, Mama. Papa wouldn't have..."
"I don't want to hear what Papa would have done," Mama snapped. "Or what Mr. Morrison wouldn't have done, or Uncle Hammer. You were with Big Ma, and she did what she had to do. And believe me, young lady, she didn't like doing it one bit more than you did."
"Well," I muttered, "maybe so, but..."
"There's no maybe to it."
"Yes'm,"
I said softly, deciding that it was better to study the patchwork pattern on the quilt until the anger left Mama's eyes and I could talk to her again. After a moment, she sat beside me on the bed and raised my chin with the tip of her forefinger. "Big Ma didn't want you to be hurt," she said. That was the only thing on her mind, making sure Mr. Sims didn't hurt you.
Yes'm, I murmured, then flared. But Mama, that Lillian Jean ain't got the brains of a flea. How come I gotta go around calling her Ms. like she grown or something?
Mama's voice grew hard. Because that's the way of things, Cassie.
The way of what things? I asked warily.
Baby, you had to grow up a little today. I wish, well, no matter what I wish, it happened, and you have to accept the fact that in the world outside this house, things are not always as we would have them be.
But Mama, it ain't fair. I didn't do nothing to that confounded Lillian Jean. How come Mr. Sims went and pushed me like he did?
Mama's eyes looked deeply into mine, locked into them, and she said in a tight, clear voice, "Because he thinks Lillian Jean is better than you are, Cassie. And when you,
that old scrawny, chicken leg, snaggle tooth crawled,"
Cassie, Mama did not raise her voice, but the quiet force of my name silenced me. "Now," she said, folding my hand in hers. "I didn't say that Lillian Jean is better than you. I said Mr. Sims only thinks she is. In fact, he thinks she's better than Stacy, or Little Man, or Christopher John."
"Just 'cause she's his daughter?" I asked, beginning to think Mr. Sims was a bit touched in the head.
"No, baby, because she's white." Mama's hold tightened on mine, but I exclaimed,
"Oh, shoot, white ain't nothing."
Mama's grip did not lessen. "It is something, Cassie. White is something, just like black is something. Everybody born on this earth is something, and nobody, no matter what color, is better than anybody else."
"Then how come Mr. Sims don't know that?"
"Because he's one of those people who has to believe that white people are better than black people to make himself feel big." I stared questioningly at Mama, not really understanding. Mama squeezed my hand and explained further. "You see, Cassie, many years ago, when our people were first brought from Africa in chains to work as slaves in this country..."
"Like Big Ma's Papa and Mama?"
Mama nodded. "Yes, baby. Like Papa Luke and Mama Rachel. Except they were born right here in Mississippi. But their grandparents were born in Africa. And when they came, there were some white people who thought that it was wrong for any people to be slaves. So the people who needed slaves to work in their fields, and the people who were making money bringing slaves from Africa, preached that black people weren't really people like white people were. So slavery was all right. They also said that slavery was good for us because it taught us to be good Christians, like the white people." She sighed deeply, her voice fading into a distant whisper. "But they didn't teach us Christianity to save our souls, but to teach us obedience. They were afraid of slave revolts, and they wanted us to learn the Bible's teachings about slaves being loyal to their masters. But even teaching us Christianity didn't make us stop wanting to be free, and many slaves ran away."
"Papa Luke ran away," I reminded her, thinking of the story of how great-grandpa had run away 3 times.
He had been caught and punished for his disobedience, but his owners had not tried to break him, for he had had a knowledge of herbs and cures. He had tended both the slaves and the animals of the plantation, and it was from him that Big Ma had learned medicines. Mama nodded again. "That's right, honey. He was hiding in a cave when freedom came, so I understand." She was silent for a moment, then went on. "Well, after a while, slavery became so profitable to people who had slaves, and even to those who didn't, that most folks decided to believe that black people really weren't people like everybody else. And when the Civil War was fought, and Mama Rachel and Papa Luke and all the other slaves were freed, people continued to think that way. Even the Northerners who fought the war didn't really see us equal to white people. So, now, Even though 70 years have passed since slavery, most white people still think of us as they did then, that we're not as good as they are. And people like Mr. Sims hold on to that belief harder than some other folks because they have little else to hold on to. For him to believe that he is better than we are makes him think that he's important simply because he's white.